What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is Sean Kane here on the Lineup Logic NBA DFS podcast, the lineup construction, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. It is Friday, the 27th of January. Massive 10-game slate coming up tonight. We have got to break this down. Before we do, we got to thank everybody who's retweeting, listening, subscribing on iTunes. iTunes subscribers bumped up in a major way this week. That was huge. I really, really appreciate that. Lots of love on Twitter, and I love interacting with you guys. Ideas, happy to answer questions. Please do not be shy. Ask questions. Ask away. What do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? I'm happy to help, you know, and I think at the minimum what I can offer is at least some statistical relevance to try and, you know, lend some light on the decisions that you're making. So thank you to those on Twitter who are interacting with the show. In the next hour, we're going to preview the night to come in the NBA. We're going to go over spreads. We're going to go over injury news. We're going to take a look at the night to come. But before we do that, let's go ahead and let's break down the previous day's lineup. Okay, so looking at the previous day's lineup, you know, we made a couple decisions that really, really, really paid off. And, you know, there's some really interesting lessons about regression in this slate. You know, something that I try to talk about a lot, not a lot, but like something that I talk about quite a bit. Regression is a real thing, you know, and you see it, from a lot of players. So, positive and negative. So interestingly enough, you know, okay, Harrison Barnes was a perfect, you know, we nailed that call. Obviously the usage was there. He was chalky. People were all over him. You know, I made a couple moves off the show lineup to get on Jameer Nelson. I just didn't want to walk off of that value and play George Hill, who I really think that Utah's just going to blow them out, and they're currently doing that. I'm just recording this Thursday night. So I got on Jameer Nelson instead, you know, really competitive game. I tried to get as many shares of that Phoenix-Denver game just because it was so juicy, you know, and it's proving to be exactly that, very, very juicy. Jameer Nelson did exactly what you wanted him to do as a value play. And I was able to, by saving with Jameer, get on Jokic, who, you know, given the pace of this game and given the opportunity that Jokic has, I just really felt like it was a good chance for him to do some good work. And he's just so damn consistent. So got on Jokic, got on Jameer, very happy with that, very happy with Harrison Barnes. You know, but we do see some issues of regression from a guy like Eric Bledsoe. You know, he had that tear, he had that amazing game, but of course he comes back down to earth and he regresses his salary there. You know, he doesn't quite meet salary-based expectations. You know, played really well, hit a nice floor, didn't kill you, but, you know, didn't blow up. You know, and you also see a couple guys who regressed, like a Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine went out and put up his normal 30 FD points, what you're used to seeing from him. It wasn't going to be forever that Zach LaVine was just going to be, you know, a dead fish in that Minnesota lineup. You know, and it wasn't going to be forever that Andrew Wiggins was crushing. And so, you know, we have some instances of regression. We have the opportunity in a lot of cases where you have guys who playing poorly, paying poorly, they're going to regress. They're going to bounce back. They're going to, you know, make up for those poor games. So some really great plays in this lineup. I was pretty pleased with it. And, you know, I think there's lessons in short slate construction here, and the short slate construction lessons are really that stars and scrubs are kind of the way to go in a short slate, because you really need to be you need to try to push your score up as high as possible. And the Stars, I think, are the safest way to do that. You don't have a lot of mid-price options in these slates. So, you know, going Stars and Scrubs is perfectly viable. I'm looking at the top half of lineups, you know, and the top half of lineups are guys who tried to get in. You know, they got in Westbrook, Jokic, and Towns. You know, and I got in Bledsoe, Jokic, and Towns. And, you know, like I said, Bledsoe, not bad. So, you know, not terrible. A good lineup as far as process. Pretty pleased with it. But tonight we have a massive, massive 10-game slate. I thought that, I thought Wednesday night was going to be big. But the games tonight, games for Friday night are absolutely huge. So let's go ahead and let's dive into this 10-game NBA slate. Okay, we have the first game of the night is we've got Kings at Pacers. Obviously, you know, no Rudy Gay in this one. 215 over under in this game. Indiana currently favored by 4. Indiana coming off the back-to-back. They just played and won in Minnesota. They're the only team on this slate that is coming off a back-to-back. Everybody else coming off at least one night of rest. That game should be a good game, good opportunity for Boogie. You have Houston at Philadelphia. No total in this one, probably waiting on some Joel Embiid news, but he is doubtful. Doesn't look like Embiid is going to go, which means fire up Nerlens Noel. Then you've got Milwaukee at Toronto. Also, no total in this one, waiting on the DeMar DeRozan news. He is questionable for Toronto. So, you know, you could have some Norman Powell action in this one again, but, you know, who knows? I think DeRozan's probably going to play, to be honest with you. Brooklyn at Cleveland, no major injuries to report in this one. 224 over under. Cleveland favored by a massive 16.5 at home. You might see that line move, though. We'll see. Orlando at Boston, no total in this one. A couple different injuries you're waiting on. Game time tag for Al Horford. I think he has an ankle coming off the Houston game. Avery Bradley still out with the Achilles. Evan Fournier likely out as well. But that should be an interesting game. Pace up for sure. Boston will be favored at home. Not a bad game to target for fantasy purposes. Charlotte at New York, 216 total in this one. Charlotte favored by 2.5 on the road. No serious injuries to report in this one, except for keep an eye on Cody Zeller. Zeller may be out with that thigh thing, which could open up Spencer Hawes. That would be a great value on the slate. And then Washington at Atlanta. This is a game that I would be interested to watch. Two kind of up-and-comers in the Eastern Conference right now, both kind of on win streaks, really. Atlanta favored by 4 at home, but don't sleep on John Wall. Miami at Chicago. 204 total in this one. Chicago favored by 4 at home. Whiteside is questionable in this game, so we could see some Willie Reed. So who knows? Keep your eye on the Whiteside news, because Willie Reed has proven to be a great backup, just like Spencer Hawes. If Willie Reed or Spencer Hawes is out there, I feel like you really kind of got to lock one of those guys in, because they've just proven to be really solid second, fill-in centers. Then San Antonio at New Orleans. Kawhi, no total in this one. Kawhi still has the hand. Anthony Davis, probable with the thigh thing. He said he's going to try to give it a go. But good gracious, Anthony Davis, always injured. I've said this before, I really hope Anthony Davis's legacy is not that, like, he could never stay healthy, Derrick Rose style. Just, it makes me sad to see really talented players constantly battle injury. You know, it hurts the game, too. And then you got Memphis at Portland. 207 total in this one. Portland favored by one. Really tight spread there. Really some fantasy goodness in that game for sure. No injuries to report there. Everybody looks like a go on the Memphis side. All those guys that were out, Michael Green, etc., they should be back. So Grizzlies back at full strength going out to Portland. All right. I am bringing in my boy Josh Hernandez for the slate breakdown. So let's go ahead and jump into breaking down the players on this slate. Okay, now we're going to jump into the slate breakdown, breaking down the players. I'm happy to welcome in my man, my co-host here, Josh Hernandez. Josh, how we doing, brother?
Sean, I'm great. It's good to be back. How you doing?
Absolutely. Good, man. Hey, you know, a lot of props for that Saturday pod. I know we, you know, we talked about it offline, but that was awesome. And you going to break down the Saturday slate for people again this weekend?
Yeah, man, I'd be happy to. I definitely like trying to help you out in any way I can. And, you know, if anybody benefits from a little poking around, little work I can do, makes me happy guy. So no problem.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That was great work, dude. So yeah, guys, listeners, listen, look for, Josh to host the Saturday pod. He did a great job last week. All right. So Josh, we're going to do this in the regular way. We're going to go snake draft. I'm going to break down shooting guard and power forward. You're going to tackle point guard and small forward. Then we're going to offer up some of our favorite centers from the night. So let's jump in and let's look at the top tier slate for players that we love. Who do you love? Okay, so the lock and load here, we're going to go position by position. These are sorting through the studs, the top price players on the slate, and trying to determine, you know, where you're going to spend your money up on this on this massive 10-game slate. Dude, 10 games. That's even bigger. I thought Wednesday night was big, but this is 10 games. It's bananas. Everybody's in action on Friday night.
Yeah, man, definitely. These big game slates, I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around it sometimes. But, you know, the idea is to just pick it apart as best you can and see, you know, what you feel comfortable with and not thinking too hard.
Yeah, I hear you. Not thinking too hard. Not doing the oversaturation thing, constantly questioning yourself. You know, that's never a healthy habit.
You got it.
All right, bro. You are going to break down a point guard for us, so why don't you just jump in?
All right. I'm going to start us off with the legend that is Isaiah Thomas. IT3, 9,800 against Orlando. In Boston, he's been ridiculous over the last four games. I mean, anybody that's been paying attention lately knows that Isaiah Thomas is just unreal lately. Averaging 50.3 FanDuel points, fourth among NBA players, and that's all NBA players, not just point guards. You know, you gotta love that. That four game span. Let me throw you a couple numbers. 37% usage rate, which is fourth in the NBA. Second in points, 34.7 per game. Fourth in assists, 9.3 per game. Seventh in free throw attempts.
Love those free points, baby.
Oh, yeah. First in three-point attempts. Second in field goal attempts. Third in minutes. Oh man.
It's crazy.
On fire, dude. On fire. So, look. We all know he's a little guy. He doesn't offer us very many rebounds, you know, and he really doesn't offer very many steals either. But, you know, he's facing Orlando. They give up the most FanDuel points in the NBA to opposing point guards over the last month. I don't see him facing any difficulty in surpassing 50 points again.
Yeah. I hear that. I think, you know, and I also really like rostering Thomas when he's at home. And if you want a little of that narrative streak, Josh, it's the whole not starting All-Star game snub
which he's been adamant about on Twitter and in the media that he should be a starter in the All-Star game, which, I mean, you know, the homers in Boston say that's true, but I don't know.
Yeah. I do like that whole narrative element to it. And it might attract some extra attention to him by DFS players. You know what? Sometimes you just got to say, screw the ownership percentage. And if a guy's going to kill it, which, again, I don't see why he isn't going to, you know, just screw the ownership percentage. If he's 40% owned, he's 40% owned.
Right. Yeah. If he gets you 50 points at that price, you're pretty pumped about it. Yep. That's nice, dude. Well, question for you. You're a Washington guy in the D.C., Maryland area. I mean, don't you think John Wall should get a nod for maybe starting in the All-Star game the way he's playing these days?
Oh, man. He really should. John Wall has just been unbelievable. He's taken his game to another level. You know, a lot of us Washingtonians have been, you know, really frustrated with him over the last couple of years, not being able to score at a prolific rate. And I just pulled up his stats, and of his past 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. So he's scored over 20 points in 7 of his last 10 games. Okay. If you told me that he was going to do that this year, that he'd be doing that on the regular, I probably would have trouble believing it. So, you know, he's taken his game to another level. He's in his prime. He really deserved an opportunity to start that game.
Yeah, but I think, you know, 10-3, he's at 10-3 on this slate. That's your stud. I mean, that's your 10K plus stud. And I don't know if you need John Wall at that price. So IT it is. All right, moving on to shooting guard. Also at 10-3, it's Giannis. This is kind of a down price for Giannis. I like this price point for Giannis here. You know, and you do have Harden on this slate at a flat 12K, which isn't a terrible price for James Harden. And Harden has the 76ers. They are kind of giving up a lot of points without Embiid. But I don't know if you watch that Boston game. I mean, Harden put up statistics, but he looked kind of flat. He looked kind of disengaged. He looked a little frustrated with his team. He just didn't look like he the Houston doesn't look like they're clicking right now. And I want the version of Houston that's like firing on all cylinders, scoring 130 points every night. Mm-hmm. And that's just not where they're at right now. So I'm going to kind of wait on Harden. I'm going to go with Giannis. Giannis, he's struggled recently, you know, a couple 40-point games here. But he does have a really good history this season against the Raptors. He's averaged 52 FD points against them. DeMar DeRozan trending back, you know, all week he was out with the ankle, but people are saying, you know, he's saying he's going to probably try to give it a go on Friday. We'll see tomorrow, you know, practice at shoot around. We'll see what DeRozan does. And I like Giannis either way, but I think the real appealing thing is that if DeRozan comes back, it's going to really make this game high scoring. You know, the Bucks need a win. The Raptors need a win. They've kind of been on a, you know, so-so 50-50 skid. And I do see the Bucks giving him like 35, 38 minutes somewhere in there. So here's an interesting stat for Giannis in his last matchup. So I've been using this shot tracking tool on NBA stats. Last game against the Raptors, he shot his highest effective field goal percentage and highest number of attempts with a defender on him within 2 to 4 foot. So that means a guarded range. They classify that as a guarded range, like he's covered. But he shot an effective field goal percentage of 77%, which is insane. Which just tells me that Toronto really can't guard him. And if it's DeRozan that's guarding him, I think the size is a problem. I think the length is a problem. I just don't think that they can handle him. So I like Giannis at this price. I like Giannis in this spot as my, you know, 10K plus player.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to cover a guy and, you know, obstruct his shot when he's 7 feet tall and, you know, moves the way he does.
Yeah.
I think that's a great choice. You know, three straight games, you know, well into the 40-point range for Giannis. Yep. You know, I don't believe in the whole, I guess, logical fallacy of, quote-unquote, he's due. But screw it. He's due. Let's go. 60 he's points. Due. Let's go.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, hey, in fantasy world, we call that regression.
There you go. Regression. You got it.
All right. Hit me with the small forward here.
Yeah, man. Small forward. You know, it's a little tricky. I got a couple guys. I mean, you know, we have the trio that tends to crop up a lot. You know, feels like we're always picking among Bron and Kawhi and Jimmy, you know, with a little KD thrown in once in a while, right? And, you know, it's between, for me, Kawhi and LeBron, okay? Right now, you know, it's late Thursday night, and Kawhi's listed as questionable. He's got that sore hand. He's probably going to go, okay?
Yeah, he practiced today, so I think he'll go.
Okay. But let's just, you know, err on the side of caution for the sake of argument right now, you know, and just assume that it's still up in the air. Again, it's probably not. So anyone listening tomorrow, you know, Friday, you're probably thinking, what is he talking about? He's ready to go. But at any rate, he's extremely attractive against New Orleans. I mean, the Pelicans struggle against small forwards mightily, you know, especially over the last month. And not just that, but they lead the league in pace allowed to the position over that span of time. You know, so the small forwards, the wings against the Pelicans are just getting, you know, a far more greater number of possessions against them than, you know, typical teams. You know, Kawhi's been a top five overall player over the past week or so. He just had probably one of the greatest stretches of his career as of late. So I definitely am going to keep him in mind for sure. You know, like you pointed out, he practiced, so, you know, odds are he's going to, you know, be full go. But you also got to love LeBron against Brooklyn. I mean, and that's who I'm going to go with. You know, again, I love Kawhi. And if you got, you know, if you got it in you, roster them both. But if I'm picking one, it's LeBron. And you know, we know Brooklyn is just a delightful target against as a delightful target for DFS players. You know, we love targeting Brooklyn. I don't see any reason for LeBron to break this trend of being the best DFS player over the last week. He scored over 50 points in three of his last four games. You know, he's a threat against anybody, one of the greatest players of all time. And when he's playing Brooklyn, you know, forget about it. It's a done deal. I mean, LeBron is going to kill him. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on Kawhi. You know, I hope that his status is announced late, so I can take a little risk and get some low ownership on him. You know, but LeBron, I don't see how you don't roster him. He's going to go for 50 plus, maybe 60. I'm very confident in that.
And, you know, and I said this the other night going into the Sacramento game, like Cleveland just needs a W bad.
They really
do. You know, they're at home. They're on this skid, and there's all this quote unquote tension. And I think, you know, LeBron just is probably going to put himself in a position where he just is going to blow up and make sure that they get this win. And, well, I'm going to talk about his front court mate there right now in the power forward. It's K Love, who I love against Brooklyn as well. 7-9. He's got Brooklyn at home. Kevin Love also, like, you know, kind of up in his game in the last three games. He's had over 20 points in each of them, double digit rebounds in each of them. You know, like we said, they're desperate for a W. In both of his previous games against Brooklyn this season, Kevin Love had over 15 rebounds and 15 points. And here's what I like about, you know, possibly about Kevin Love and LeBron. Well, first of all, I like Kevin Love because of the big three. He's the lowest priced. So Kyrie is at 8-4, LeBron's at 10-8, but K-Love is at 7-9, you know, and they could all go for 40 or 45, easy. But if Kevin Love goes for 40 or 45, he's above 5X, whereas LeBron is below value, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, and don't forget that in late December, you know, Kevin was, you know, well into the 8,000 range. So he could be trending back upward, and you want to get on that train before it takes off.
Yeah, exactly. So here's an interesting stat, though. Okay, normally with Brooklyn, you're terrified of blowout, and like that's very reasonable against, you know, really good teams like Cleveland. But Cleveland's defense has been pretty poor as of late, allowing, you know, multiple games where teams are scoring over 110 points. You know, the Pelicans put up 120 on them. And last night against the Sacramento Kings, the Kings put up over 110. Brooklyn scored more than 100 points in 7 of their last 10. So, you know, their offense is doing something pretty effectively, even if they don't play very good defense and even if they're losing a lot of those games. I think that the Brooklyn's ability to score against Cleveland's kind of mediocre defense of late is going to put some pressure on scorers for Cleveland and, you know, maybe make sure that Love gets, you know, get some minutes. If we can get this game going into the fourth quarter, keep it pretty close. You know, you like Kevin Love to hit his ceiling, to hit that 40 plus mark, which is, you know, very, very possible for him, you know, and he's still below 8K. So you always feel good about him below 8K.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, those Brooklyn Nets, they're nice to feast on. And, you know, the tough thing about them is just figuring out which of their players are the ones to target, because the opponents definitely do a good job of it. But, you know, it seems like it's a gamble most nights with them picking one.
Yeah, I can't touch any Brooklyn. I don't know what their rotation is. You know, I think the only Brooklyn player that you can ever start with any relative confidence is Brooke Lopez. So, but I don't love Brooke Lopez. So, all right, throw me. We got two high price centers here, Josh. You know, both of us offered up a high price center in a good situation. Talk to me about yours.
Yeah, so my guy's a high price center who's actually $2,000 more than yours. So you at least offer a bit of salary savings. But I'm going to start us off with Boogie Cousins. Just a quick tip to anyone listening that is looking for an edge, which I think that's all of you. The Pacers, which is the opponent of the Kings tomorrow night, they're the only team on the entire slate, on this big 10-game slate, that's playing back-to-back. So 19 teams have rest, one does not, and that's the Pacers. And as we all know, the Pacers are not particularly the best defensive team out there. So factor those two variables in, and, you know, that's an edge for you to pick on them. And who best to do that but with Boogie? I mean, he's, you know, got 260-point outings in his last three. You know, he's second only to LeBron in FanDuel points per game over the last four, which is 52 by my, 52 points. Look, you know, Indiana, they struggle against bigs. It's really hard for me to see him scoring under 60 points. You know, he's just one of those guys that can just take over a game. I like him a lot tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you love him against you love him with that, you know, usage bump with Rudy Gay out of the line. Yeah, he's been a maniac lately. So yeah, Boogie for sure.
Your guy was a maniac the other night, man. I felt bad I didn't get to roster him in our matchup.
Yeah, in the free roll. Yeah, man, Marc Gasol, you know, he's going to be a little bit chalky. I think people are going to look at that last, you know, number and go, oh, man, Gasol, yeah. But the price bumped a little bit, but not much, you know. It's 8-7, and he's got Portland, which is an awesome, awesome situation for a lot of the Grizzlies. I mean, you could probably roster two or three Grizzlies and feel pretty good about them against Portland. Portland's defense just really poor. The Grizzlies have had some really nice outings against them. He's 8-7. You know, it's still he's priced to hit 43 FanDuel points, which, you know, is below his current five-game average. He's averaging 45. Now, obviously, you know, you look at his recent 52-point performance and you say, well, that's why. But, you know, before that, I talked about it last week, or excuse me, in the last, you know, Wednesday pod, he's got 41, 41, I think, and 44. So, You know, I love Gasol at this price. He hit 48 against them last game. So, you know, he's really, really, really doing good work. So I think Gasol is in a good spot. All right, let's move on to the fantasy grout. Mid-price guys, you're filling in that second tier, the 5 to 8K range. Josh, you got a point guard for us, my friend.
Yeah. And you mentioned those Grizzlies players were really attractive options tomorrow night against Portland. I was tempted to pick Mike Conley here, but I had to go with Goran Dragic. And I felt a little burned the other night in our free roll because I was on Dragic and I moved off of him to Conley. And, you know, as many people know, Dragic went for over 40 and Conley barely went over 20 points. So that burned a little bit. So fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? Is that it?
Something like that. I think that's about right.
Yeah. But listen, Goran, 7,200 at Chicago. He's averaging almost 40 FanDuel points a game over the last week. It's sixth among point guards. He's a top 25 player in that span of time. You know, one thing that you and I are really big on is getting to the free throw line. You know, as you've mentioned before, Sean, you know, those are gimme points. You know, most NBA players are shooting 80%+ at the line. Those are gimme points. And if you can get to the line like he has, you know, about, you know, like 8 to 10 times a game over the last couple weeks, I mean, that's an extra 7, 8, 9 FanDuel points a night. I mean, he's basically getting 20% of his fantasy production from free throws. So, you know, I just don't see why anybody would ignore the the free throw element of the game. So keep that in mind with Goran. You know, he's going to give us solid usage. He's going to give us solid minutes. I'm just really confident for him to continue to be one of those primary focal points along with Dion Waiters in the Heat's game plan. And as most of us know, Chicago, they give up a lot of points to opposing point guards. They're fourth in the league as of late, over the last month or so, to that position. So, you know, along with that DVP element and, you know, the previous mentioned factors like the free throws, I see Dragic having another 40-pointer tomorrow night, tonight, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I like that call. And that's a nice price for Dragic. You know, you like him there. Once he gets, you know, north of 7-4, you start to kind of, But I think 7-2, he's still in play for sure. Okay, at shooting guard, it's a guy that I go to all the time, and it is my man Nick Batum. He is 7-1, and he's got the Knicks. Really solid matchup with the Knicks. The Knicks have struggled against the backcourt all year long. You know, and they are bottom five in DVP to the shooting guard. Batum, this is a pretty good price for Nick Batum. His price is down. He kind of, you know, he can get up into that 7-5 plus range. So, you know, he gets really consistent minutes. He hasn't been really consistent in his production lately. So, you know, you kind of hope that maybe people are off of him a little bit. But, you know, last time out against New York, he had 42 FD points in New York, and he's currently averaging 11-7-7 with a steal and a block. You know, I think the only difference is that, you know, that those numbers really, the stat sheet stuff is amazing. It's 7-7 steal and a block. It's the 11 points that you want to see get a little bit of a bump. And I think that that's really, really pretty feasible in a pace-up game against New York and against, you know, kind of a poor backcourt. You know, I see Batum, you know, pretty easily going for 35+ in this one. I know that people will be, you know, very interested in Waiters, you know, who's still at 6'2", who's a good price. And, you know, I can see that for sure. Waiters is very interesting. He's super hot. His usage is just massive right now. You know, I just, I'm waiting for Deion Waiters to fall off. I'm waiting for him to struggle. And I don't want to be on him that game. You know, if he goes for 30 or 40 again, so be it. But I think Nick Batum is in a really, really good position here to exceed value.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, Batum, he's down in salary. You know, he's, he should be priced in the mid sevens, closer to eight. He's got the potential, you know, to rattle off a few 40 pointers in a row. And, you know, I think that he's just had a little rough stretch lately, and he can get back on track as that, you know, mid 30 point stalwart.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into small forward here, Josh. What you got for me, man?
Sean, I got Jay Crowder at 5,900 against Orlando. I don't know about you, but I think he should be priced higher. I feel like he's just a really solid, consistent contributor all across the board. He's one of those guys that are down in the fives that, you know, you just have in your mind that 40-point upside that they can give you any given night. You know, among other small forwards over the last week, you know, sixth in FanDuel points in that span of time, facing a bottom 10 team against a small forward position in Orlando. You got to feel good about that. Again, he's a solid contributor. He shoots the three ball, he gets boards, he gets steals, a couple dimes here and there. You know, he can score you 10, 15, 20 points, you know. Boston's just a really good offensive team. And I got a little theory, like a little thing I like to call little points. The little points, those two or three extra fantasy points a quarter that fast-paced teams like Boston will provide their players. You know, I feel like Crowder definitely benefits from being on a team like that, that plays that kind of game. So I'm really comfortable with stacking him as well with Isaiah Thomas. I feel good about both of those guys. And, you know, I think Crowder's going to have a good one tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, Crowder all season, people have kind of been waiting for him to do what he's been doing in the last couple games. And, you know, it's kind of a revelation to see him actually really participate in the offense. And you have to wonder if, you know, that's really kind of an intentional thing on the behalf of the Boston coaching staff to basically be like, hey, you know, you need to score. You need to score a lot for us to win more often. So, you know, it's good to see him getting to the rim. All right, power forward. I'm going to kind of go back to the well here, somebody that everybody's been rostering all week. It's David Lee. This isn't really very creative, but I think at 5'7", it's a really nice price point for a guy who's got a great front court matchup with New Orleans. You know, obviously Lee is getting that massive minutes bump with Gasol off the court. You know, and he's still priced well. You liked him more and he was 5'1 for most of the week. But, you know, with Gasol off the court, he goes to almost a full FanDuel point per minute. And in the four games since Gasol was gone, he's had two with more than 30 minutes. And in those both, he's had 30 plus FanDuel points. So, you know, if somehow this Spurs Pels game, you know, and I, Josh, we didn't talk about this, but if Anthony Davis is out, I think you have to fade this game just because there's no way that the Pels stay in it really at all.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of people I think might get a little cute and look for Jrue Holiday to give a repeat performance of his big outing the other night. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, the Spurs just shut down opposing point guards.
No, they even shut down Kyle Lowry. So I don't really think Jrue is in play at all. You know, I don't really think many of the Pelicans are in play. It's very hard to predict who's going to score for them. Etuan Moore was their leading scorer the other night. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, so if Davis can't go, then I think you maybe get off of Lee, and there's some other guys in this mid-tier. You know, Markieff Morris is, you know, took a massive price bump, but he's still playing extremely well as of late. So Keefe is definitely in play. And then there's a couple value guys as well. You know, the 76ers guys are all available, Nerlens and Dario Saric and stuff like that. So, you know, Lee is an option if you think that this game can stay close. But if it can't stay close, then, you know, one of the guys you may want to think about is actually Dwayne Dedmon, the backup center. Dedmon in blowouts really benefits for the Spurs. He, for example, got 29 minutes against Brooklyn, and he's 3-7. He's almost min price at center. And he gets 23 FD points. He basically plays in relief of Lee at that center position. He's not the starter, but you know, if this game looks like it's going to be a blowout, I think you could probably pencil Dedmon in for 25 plus minutes. And at that price, you kind of like that. So something to think about. Lee is definitely an option though, in the five K range. And then at center, it's a guy that I kind of love, right now, at this price. And I think he's ready for a big bounce back game, and I've tried to target him in some good matchups in the last couple weeks, and it's Dwight Howard at 7-1. Howard has had a couple games that he was down in the last, you know, past 5 or 10. He's had a couple of kind of weak games where he just didn't get any minutes, but he's definitely back into the rotation. I think that the Hawks realize, like, you know, the whole small ball thing for them isn't really their model. They play better with Howard on the floor. And he scored at least 35 points in his last three games, and he's had at least 32 minutes. So he looked really solid in that Chicago game. And, you know, he didn't really do much until late third, fourth quarter. But at that point, he just started crushing in the pick and roll with Schroeder and Bazemore. I was watching that game, and he was just, I mean, he threw down, I think, like three different dunks in a row. He had double digit points, double digit rebounds. He's a double double machine. So he's got Washington. You know, Gortat is fine. He's not nearly as athletic as Dwight. Last time out against Washington, he had 48 FD points. So, you know, he's priced to exceed value at 7-1. I think that it's, you know, a good night for Dwight to get above 35 fantasy points.
Yeah, it's a good call. Yeah, I like Dwight a lot. He's been really solid over the last week or so. Very consistent player all across the stat sheet. That's a good call. I'm going to go with Jonas Valanciunas, 5,700 against Milwaukee. He's just one of those guys that gets you the consistent 25 to, you know, 35 points. That's not going to, you know, blow your mind. But, you know, you just got to keep in mind that that's good enough for eighth among centers in FanDuel points over the last week. You know, 28 points, again, nothing to write home about, but it's just a solid play at 5,700. You know, Milwaukee, 10th worst against the center position over the last month. Valanciunas, he's just a threat to give you that 40-point outing any night. I mean, he grabs tons of boards. You know, there's no reason that he can't give you 30 points. I just see him as a really solid option tomorrow night against the Bucks.
Yeah, I think he's priced well. And, you know, it's interesting, his the opposite side of the ball there at 5-7, also Greg Monroe. When Monroe gets over 30 minutes, which he did against Philadelphia, he's been putting up really big numbers above 30 FanDuel points. So, you know, I don't know that you can trust Monroe's role. He just kind of has been shaky in his minutes and rotation. He's kind of up and down in that sense. But Valanciunas is definitely someone we like to pick on as far as, you know, the center. That was Gasol went off on Valanciunas. So, you know, if you don't love Valanciunas, then, hey, maybe you flip over to Monroe.
He's an interesting option.
Yeah. All right, let's go on down to the bargain basement. We're looking for guys in that 5K range, you know, where we're trying to focus on minutes. We're trying to make sure we get guys who are priced to, you know, really hit value in this range, hit that 25 to 30 point mark. Josh, you're on point guard here. Talk to me.
Yeah, Sean. You know, I had to break the rules a little bit. You know, a lot of people I think are going to be on Matthew Dellavedova. He's been, you know, kind of en vogue lately. But I'm going to pivot off of him because, you know, like I said, I think a lot of people are going to be owning him. And I'm just not interested. You know, I'm not interested in, you know, being part of a 25% ownership on a guy that's going to give me 19 points, even if his salary is low. So, I'm going to break the rules a little bit and go with TJ McConnell. He's at 5,600 facing Houston. Okay, so Houston, you know, they're not the greatest team against the point guard position. You know, they're fifth worst against them over the past month. And, you know, you got to factor in Joel Embiid. When Joel Embiid's around, you know, it has an effect on the rest of the team that, you know, everybody steps up a little bit more. So I feel good about that aspect of things. Here's the thing about McConnell, though. He doesn't really blow you away in any department, okay? He doesn't score a ton of points. He doesn't, you know, grab a ton of boards. But there's one thing he does really well, you know, at least as of late, and that's accumulate assists. He's tops among all point guards over the last week with 9.8 assists per game. He actually has three straight games with double-digit assists. Some people listening may recall he had a 17-assist outing against Boston earlier this month. 17 assists. I mean, that's like CP3 territory. And for
John Wall territory.
Yeah, go ahead. What'd you say?
I said John Wall territory.
Yeah, John Wall territory. But the difference here is that I'm saving $5,000, right? And, you know, I don't expect TJ to be giving me, you know, 17 assists with 27 points. But, you know, I don't see a reason why he can't continue this recent trend. You know, he could get a solid double-double, you know, handful of rebounds, 10 points, you know, 10 assists, whatever. I mean, I don't think he's going to blow us away, but, you know, at 5,600, anything over 30 points, you know, it's gravy. You'll take it. I feel good about TJ.
And I think the thing that you can't really sleep on in that case is that he's going to be in one of the highest pace games of the night against Houston. You know, Houston runs one of the highest paces in the league, and so he's going to see extra possessions. He's going to see transition opportunities. That's going to open up a lot of assists. And I think, you know, running the court with Norland's Noel recently, you see how those guys are able to push the ball and get to the rim. So I like that call a lot. All right, shooting guard is loaded with value, and three guys in the four range that I really like and I think are all in really good positions, to be honest with you. The first is Garrett Temple, Sacramento. People are starting to get hot to Garrett Temple. They're starting to realize, like, oh, he's taking over a lot of the usage in the minutes now that Rudy Gay is out. Temple's been getting about 30-plus minutes and has 25 FD points in three of the games since Gay went down. He's got a really nice matchup with Indy. The backcourt defense for Indianapolis, not really a thing. You know, we're watching right now Zach LaVine in a bounce back game. If you rostered Zach LaVine, he's finally back. He's getting back to his 30 point normal fantasy point value in this game against Indianapolis or Indiana, Indianapolis, the Colts. And then Tony Allen, also 4-4. I mean, the simple thing about Tony Allen is the minutes are there and he's got Portland. Portland's terrible defensively. You know, and so you like Allen in this position. You know, you know he doesn't really have a ceiling, but for cash games, if you want to spend down at shooting guard, I think Allen is great. And then the other one is Iman Shumpert, 4-1, Brooklyn. You know, obviously we love shooting guards against Brooklyn. I was on Wayne Ellington earlier this week, and he did wonderful things at 3-8. He went for 7x. You know, Shump is getting like 32 plus minutes in a lot of these games, which, you know, you would think would equate to a lot more fantasy value. Not 32. He's gotten 30, 30, 38, 28, and 28. You know, and in those five games, he's hit 30, 24, 20. 17 and 26. So you like the plus matchup. You know that 20 is a very, very achievable number with the way that he's playing right now. That's 5x just about, you know, and I don't think 30 is crazy if he gets a couple extra attempts against a pretty poor Brooklyn defense and a pace-up game. So I like Shumpert a lot at 4-1. small forward. This is an interesting one, Josh. You got some. This one's a little risky. Talk to me.
Yeah, this is a little risky. There's definitely, you know, going to be some better options out there than this particular player. But I think it's just worth, you know, pointing out that he might start to be trending up as he recovers from his knee injury from last year, and that's Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons, 3,700, you know, against Portland. As you mentioned, Portland is not the most adept team at the defensive aspect of the game. Again, it's a bit risky. But, you know, with guys like this in this situation, with the talent that he has, you know, the track record that he has in years past, you got to take notice. He's coming off a game against Houston. He put up 26.4 FanDuel points in just 21 minutes. You know, I'm going to assume that he should log at least 21 minutes again. You know, maybe, you know, in the area of 24, maybe 26. I don't know. But if he can maintain that one-ish fantasy points per minute situation, you know, he could flirt with 30 FanDuel points. You know, basic math, you know, my calculator says that's about 8x value near his min-sal. You know, he's a great talent. He just needs to keep recovering, getting more healthy, getting more minutes. And it doesn't hurt that, again, he's facing Portland. They're the 10th worst team against a small forward position over the last month. You know, worst case scenario, what does he do? He gets you, you know, 20 points, whatever. You can live with that at 3,700. But 25 to 30, forget about it. I'll take that all day from a player at his salary.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And, you know, it's a risk. It's definitely kind of a GPP punt.
Yes.
You know, but okay, that's interesting.
And you know what? Sure. And you know what? That's one of those, we haven't talked about it in a while, but that's one of those anti-fragile guys that are going to be, you know, what, 0.8, 1.2, 2% owned, you know?
Right.
And if he comes out and gets you 25 minutes and he does that 1 point per minute performance and he gets you 25, you know, maybe if you're lucky 30 points. I mean, that's going to really change the landscape of the slate. If you're on him, if you're one of the few that are on him.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay. Power forward. This is pretty simple, pretty straightforward. The value play is Nerlens Noel. I don't get it. He's only 4.6. His price only went up $500. I guess maybe there's assumption that, you know, Joel Embiid might be back soon, but I don't think that's the case. Nerlens has just been a maniac, stuffing the stat sheet, scoring a ton of points, getting a ton of rebounds, throwing some assists. He really this Philadelphia team is just so fun. You know, between Nerlens Noel and Joel Embiid, the way that they've been playing recently. I mean, Nerlens had 45 against the Clippers and then 34 against Milwaukee, you know, which is almost 10x both nights. Against Houston, this is, again, a pace-up matchup that you like. We want to target some guys in this game for sure. And he's going to get starters minutes if Embiid is out. I think he's a must play until that price changes or the minutes change when Embiid returns, which once Embiid returns, I want to see those two play together, man, side by side. It would be something else to watch them both run the floor. It would just be just be dirty. So Nerlens it is. He'll be chalky. People will be on him for sure. More than 50%, I guess, of the field. But, you know, you don't want to sleep on a guy who's performing so well, who's done such good consistent things in the last two games. So I'm good with Noel at 4.6.
Yeah, and if I could point out one guy that I think gets overlooked a lot on that front court rotation is Ersan Ilyasova. You know, a lot of people like to pay down, and, you know, Noel, he's a stud. He needs to be getting more minutes. He really does, or they need to trade him or something. But, you know, Ilyasova, he's giving you those solid 30-point outings. So if you're looking for, you know, a zig while others are zagging, Ersan, though, you know, more expensive, could be your guy. And just a quick correction, you correct me. I think I said that Embiid is playing tomorrow night. He's not, right?
No, I think he's a game time. I think the knee is still, I mean, they originally reported that it was going to be almost 2 weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if they give him the whole week off here, you know, and let him rest up. They're not taking their chances and they're winning. You know, why not? You know, if they were losing these games massively, I know Joel would want to come back, but I don't think that they need to force him back right now. So I think Nerlens is a go. All right, at center we got two value centers. We've offered a lot of centers up tonight, but center for me is so important. You know, like I was reading, and Josh, I'll have to share this book with you. I'll share this link. I read this book on fantasy basketball, and you know, it was an ebook. It was perfectly fine. It wasn't necessarily groundbreaking, but one of the things that they mentioned was that you want to make sure that you're not always punting at center. Because they're guys who do things in multiple stat categories. You know, you're not going to just get points. You're going to get rebounds and you're going to get blocks. You're going to get assists, things like that. So, you know, to pay at center isn't the worst thing that you can do. You know, especially if you have a center in a good matchup. So I've been really concentrating on figuring out where I want to spend my money at center these days. And I think it's paid off. You know, tonight I'm looking at Karl Anthony Towns. And he's I think he's at 54 FD points on the night, 53 right now. So, you know, definitely feeling good about Towns. And, you know, not everybody's Karl Anthony Towns, but it's worth paying for a center who can do a lot considering they fill the stat sheet. But here's a guy that's a value that doesn't always fill the whole stat sheet, but he's not bad. Spencer Hawes, if Cody Zeller can't go, Spencer Hawes will get the start. Well, he won't get the start. Hibbert will get the start, but Hawes will play the majority of the minutes. And just so we're clear about, you know, what Hawes' role looks like when Zeller is out. When Zeller is out, Hawes has seen, you know, games of 26, 24, 28, 25, and 29 minutes. And, you know, at a salary of 4K, he's put up anywhere from, you know, a 17 point floor to, last night against Golden State, he put up 33 fantasy points. So, you know, decent matchup against the Knicks front court. Hawes shoots the three ball, which is a really nice thing to have in your center. And he gets on the glass too. So, I like Hawes. If we get news that that Zeller is out, it feels like a really, really good value lock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm going to go with one of his opposition options, and that's the Knicks' Guillermo Hernan Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hernan Gomez. I love that name.
You know, he has a brother, right?
What's his brother?
His brother is like
Gomez.
No, it's like Goncho or something, Hernan Gomez. I know that sounds ridiculous. I'll have to look up his name to get it right. All right, you talk Hernan Gomez.
All right, before I talk Hernan Gomez, I'm going to give you his full name. Guillermo Gustavo Willie Hernan Gomez Gerr. Wow. Gerr. G-E-R.
Nailed it.
Yeah, man.
Nailed it.
All right, so look. Hernan Gomez. I mean, he's a young guy, right? He's trying to work his way into the Knicks rotation. He's had some moments over the season. But the last couple games, the last like stretch of like five games or so, he's really starting to, you know, carve out a niche. He had a 17 point outing against Boston, 17 actual points, a 14 actual point outing against Indiana. You know, which, you know, if you're keeping score at home, that's Sacramento's opponent tomorrow night. So, you know, chalk another one up for Boogie. If Hernan Gomez can score 14 points and 10 boards against them, then I think Boogie can pull that off too.
Right.
But, you know, the last two games, 24 minutes in each of them, 35 and 33 against Indiana and Dallas respectively. Look, you know, for some reason, his salary has just ticked up a lot. You know, I know that there are some injury question marks there in New York. in the front court in the paint. And, you know, I don't know if it totally merits his salary going up that considerably. It could, you know, I'm not an expert in that regard, but you got to take notice. You know, if you can get a guy that can give you those 1.5 fantasy point per minute outings, you know, just a dominant rebounder, can score the basketball, you know, and not to mention has an opponent in Charlotte who's just really middle of the road in center. They're not awful, but they're not great. You know, just take a gamble, yeah. Just like our buddy Chandler Parsons, and maybe you get a 30-point outing from a cheap player.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's GPP viable for sure. No question. All right. So we're going to move into the lineup lock. This is where Josh and I are going to build a cash core of players. Now, Josh, I want to start this off with, you know, kind of a strategy tip that I've recently been working on. So one of the things that I like to do is I like to, you know, based on the size of the slate, I like to look at winning lineups, like so lineups that are in that 320 range, more or less, like safely in the cash in a lot of different formats. And I think structurally what you can find is, okay, where do people, what are the price points that people are paying? You know, how many punt plays do they have? How many studs do they have, et cetera? And on these larger slates, because you have a lot of guys in the 7 and 6K range, you usually see one player above 10K, and then kind of almost a waterfall down type. You know, you've got 2-3 players in the 7K range, maybe 6K range, and then one or two players in the 5K range, and maybe one real value play below 4 or 5. So I'm gonna try to stick to that formula for us to see how, you know, we can build a lineup that, you know, kind of in my mind mirrors what successful structures look like. And I think that kind of structure just helps you stay disciplined in making sure that you don't take too many risks. You know, especially with studs, you know, if you're paying for multiple studs and those studs miss value, you're pretty much dead in the water. So, you know, I'm going to start it off. And I'm going to start from a kind of a bottom-up approach here, and I'm going to go with shooting guard. Shooting guard is my kind of favorite value play of the night. It's Iman Shumpert, 4-1. I think he's great matchup, great minutes there against Brooklyn.
Okay, that's a solid pick there, and it's I was like my heart was racing there because you said you're going to start it off from bottom up and go with shooting guard, and I thought you were going to say, my boy Garrett Temple, you know, against the back-to-back Pacers. But I like Shump. I like Shump.
Okay.
So then if I don't want to roster two considerably low-priced shooting guards, but I do want to get a piece of that Sacramento Kings action. So I'm going to go with Boogie Cousins at center.
Okay.
10,700. He's an expensive player, but I think that he's in for a 60-pointer tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Then I'm going to go back down the line and I'm going to lock in Nerlens here. You know, with that, as long as we don't get any news that Joel Embiid is back, Nerlens there in one of our power forward slots.
All right. Fair enough. Let's see here. Do I jump up high right now or do I stay mid-range? I think I'm going to stay mid-range for now. And I am going to, and ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, this is live on the fly, thinking as we go. I'm going to go point guard with Goran Dragic. I like him at 7,200. I think he's got, you know, a chance to get 40 points. I feel like that's fair value for him.
Okay, nice. I like Dragic right there. Okay. I want to try to see if we can get, you know, I think we've got another good spot here for, man, dude, this small forward slate is actually kind of loaded in this 5K range. I mean, did you see this? We've got Covington, Crowder, Aaron Gordon, even, Kent Bazemore coming off a huge 40-point outing against the Bulls. Oof, something to think about. We may be able to roster two of those guys, like a Crowder and a Covington. That might be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, you got MKG and Ariza there. I don't know, Ariza's a little hit or miss.
Yeah, Ariza's kind of been cold lately for sure. The Houston in general has been cold. All right, well, wait, how do you feel about this, right? We've got two pace-up matchups. We talked about Crowder, so let's get Crowder in there. But how do you feel about Covington at 5-6 against Houston? Although, well, we might have too many Philadelphia shares at that point. So,
well, I mean, just real quick on Covington, I mean, he gets minutes, he gets field goal attempts. You know, he contributes all across the board. In fact, in five straight games, he's had at least one steal and one block. So you know what? I'm gonna table him for now.
All right.
And I'm gonna abstain from picking a small forward at the moment. I'm going to go ahead and, select a shooting guard. I'm going to go with, Nick Batum.
Okay.
I like that pick. I think that he's due to start ticking up in, his production and salary.
Okay. I like that call. I like that call. Okay. Then you know what I'm going to do at power forward? I'm going to get some shares, of this, I'm going to get some shares of the big three here. I'm going to go with Kevin Love. I think that he's in a good spot for us.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Okay, so I'm looking at our situation right now, and we were looking at 62.50 remaining. So what I'm going to do, because I can't think of the math on the fly here, well, I could just experiment real quick. Let's see. Okay, so if I put Covington in there, we're at 6,900. And just a quick glance at the situation. Not very many guys that I'm super into. Okay, so I'm going to take Covington off. I'm going to pop TJ McConnell in there and see what happens. 6,900 again. Tough situation here, Sean.
I'm seeing, wait, you got 69. I'm seeing 64. I've got Goran, TJ, Iman, Batum, Nerlens, K Love, and Cousins.
Goran, TJ, Iman, Batum, Crowder, Nerlens, Love, Cousins.
Oh, Crowder. Okay. I see what you're saying. All right. So wait, why don't we get off Crowder?
Okay.
And hold right there. And, maybe we could go with our boy Aaron Gordon. Maybe get some savings right there.
Okay, let's see what happens there. That puts us up to 7-6.
Yeah,
7-6. That changes things a little bit. You know, we could afford Mike Conley against Portland. Or excuse me, what am I talking about? We already got our point guard. Yeah, we could get Paul George in there. Pace up game perhaps against Sacramento. You know, obviously has that nice upside, nice usage, locked in minutes.
He just had a really nice game too against New York, and actually just had a nice outing again tonight against Minnesota. I don't mind that. I think Paul George at home is very interesting. But the question is do we want to get another elite score at point guard? What happens if we put Isaiah Thomas in here? Oh geez, yeah, then we're punting completely.
Okay.
All right, wait. I got one for you, Josh. You ready?
Yes.
What if we go down to Garrett Temple off of Batum? Right? We like Garrett Temple. And we go to Garrett Temple and we get some savings that way. Let's see what that does here for us. Okay. Interesting.
6,100. Goran, Thomas, Shump, Temple, Gordon, Noel, Love, Cousins. 6,100 for a small forward. We can get Crowder in there.
Yeah, that's not bad. And then you've got that.
Is that your kid crying or my kid?
No, that's my kid. You can hear him on there. You just woke up.
It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean and I are fathers of young children, okay?
He just woke up.
You single guys out there and single ladies that are loving the childless life, It's a beautiful thing, but just wait. Just
kids
wait.
Are real, man. Kids are real. Yeah. Hold on. Let's pause. Let's pause the pod real quick so that I can take care of my son. I'll be right
go
back.
Go get baby.
Okay, we can edit that out in post. All right. Well, this is interesting. This is interesting here. The one question I have for you, Josh, is do you feel like we need to get some Mike Conley in our life here?
You know, I'm really tempted. I'm really tempted because Conley's coming off a subpar outing. And obviously people have that recency bias. In fact, he's coming off two subpar outings, 23 and 27 points against Toronto and Houston. But prior to that, you know, in mid-January, he was killing it, you know, upper 30s, 48 points against the Bulls, 49 points against Golden State. You know what, Sean? That might not be too bad of an idea against Portland. So what do you think we got to do? Because we got Goron and Isaiah, and it's really tough to get off Isaiah.
No, yeah, it is tough to get off Isaiah.
Because if we get off of Goron and get Conley in there, then we used all our salary right on the dot. So I guess the question is, who do you like more, Dragic or Conley? They're pretty much neck and neck for me.
Yeah, I part of me thinks that Conley has, you know, the better matchup. Recently, the Bulls put Jerry and Grant in to kind of slow down the point guard position. You know, Miami is a pace down team anyway. Memphis is a pace down team anyway too. I just feel like Conley has a better matchup here. So let's test that out. Let's test that out.
Let's do it.
Let's do.
Yeah, the other thing about Conley too is I'm looking at the Vegas line right now. Miami's hasn't been released yet, but the Grizzlies are getting 1 point. So it's a 1 point spread. Portland favored by one. That's very nice.
All right. This is pretty solid, dude. I like this line a lot. Good cash core here. We've got Isaiah Thomas, Mike Conley, Imad Shumpert and Garrett Temple, Aaron Gordon and Jay Crowder, Nerlens Noel, Kevin Love, and DeMarcus Cousins. And so, you know, we've got a 10K player. We've got a 9K player. And we've got two guys in the sevens, two guys in the fives, and two guys in the fours who are getting starters minutes. So, you know, solid structure there. No one who's not starting, no one who's not going to get 28 plus minutes in this lineup. So you feel good about that.
Mm-hmm. Lock it in, boys and girls.
All right, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for Josh and I this evening. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Please retweet, share, interact with us. Look for Josh's pod tomorrow. Josh, where can people find you on Twitter, my friend?
Yeah, you can find me at Josh Fern. That's JOSHFERN. Hit me up. Let's chat.
All right, man. Well, look for Josh's pod on Saturday morning. Should be out, you know, morning, midday. You guys, obviously, please subscribe on iTunes. Thank you for all the love this week. Podcast audience continues to grow, and we will see you later.